ways you have a golf cart.
We're live on Jaguars.com. The pick is in at number 3 overall. The Jacksonville Jaguars have selected Blake Bortles, the quarterback from UCF. J.P. Shadrick with Jaguars.com. Senior writer John Osier. A little bit of a surprise.
I called that one, right?
Huh?
Right?
Isn't that something?
I was on that. No, and it's a surprise. And, you know, I think what we knew before the draft was that we really didn't know what the Jaguars were going to do with this pick. And, you know, all week you heard Johnny Manziel. All week you heard different guys. And they kept it very quiet, obviously wanted to keep it very quiet. This is a guy who is a prototypical passer. Any analyst you talk to say he's the guy who most looks the part. He's the guy you can see growing. He's got all the tools. And, you know, as with any quarterback in this draft, there were questions. The thing I keep going back to is every time we heard David Caldwell talk, you and I both heard him talk a lot during the pre-draft process, he kept on talking about his idea of a quarterback was a guy who wins from the pocket. That sort of made you think he's looking for prototype. If you read those tea leaves, which is easy to read now in retrospect, it's easy to see why he liked a guy like Blake Bortles.
Blake Bortles is the pick out of Oviedo, Florida, and Central Florida. We were at his pro day, John, and it was one of those pro days where things were great. Short on the move a little bit. He had some trouble with deep balls, overthrowing that. He had worked on his footwork with Jordan Palmer before.
Right.
And overall, though, not a bad pro day.
Well, what's interesting is out of the pro days we went to, out of the high-profile quarterback pro days, Bridgewater had the one everybody talked about, and he quote-unquote sunk. And then there was Johnny Football's pro day, which was a rock concert. You know, so that's the one everybody talked about. And nobody really talked about Bortles' pro day that much. But it was a good, solid pro day. They clearly liked it better than Bridgewater's. Everybody's did. And didn't have that rock star dynamic Johnny Football. But they weren't looking for a rock star. They were looking for a quarterback who can be the franchise guy going forward. And that's clearly what you drafted this guy to be. And so that's where we are.
Well, the question will be now, of course, they've said in the past that Chad Henne, who they signed back in just before free agency, is going to be the starter going into training camp in the offseason here.
Right.
Does that change?
Well, no. Speaking of tea leaves, you know, on Friday, Dave Caldwell was asked very specifically by a lot of quarterbacks, you know, who knows if it was a smokescreen, but he talked about Johnny Manziel and talked about Teddy Bridgewater. Not a lot of talk about Bortles on Friday, if you recall. But Dave said the guys that he sort of thought was pro-ready, because you wouldn't have to change what he did, was Johnny Manziel. I think this franchise, certainly people inside the building, are very well prepared to give Blake Bortles as long as he needs to be ready. If you've listened to Gus, which we both have all offseason, he has talked on and on again about wanting to create the environment for competition without pressure. I don't think there'll be any sense of shoving Blake Bortles toward this job before he's ready.
If you've just joined us, we're live on Jaguars.com. Immediate reaction. We are just outside of the media room, which is the team room here at Everbank Field. The defense room will be where the press conferences will be held for Dave Caldwell and Gus Bradley. We're expected to be joined by Gus Bradley at some point. Last check, they're still in the war room down the hall. So stick with us right here on Jaguars.com.
And there's that famous line from Christmas Vacation. Eddie, if I woke up with my head sewn to the carpet, I wouldn't be any more surprised. I'm pretty surprised.
Yeah.
I mean, and
I think a lot of folks back in the media room.
Yeah, and in retrospect, you probably shouldn't be. And it's easy to look at, like I say, clues and things people said after something's happened. But again, Dave Caldwell worked with the Colts and Peyton Manning, worked with the Falcons and Matt Ryan. Anytime you talk to Dave, he's a big believer. You know, you just didn't get the sense that he was a mobile quarterback guy. Doesn't mind it. But you didn't get the sense that he's a runaround guy, you know, and certainly Blake Bortles is the guy that when you look at him, you can close your eyes and see in this guy being a pocket passer for 10, 12, 15 years in this league. So, you know, that's a marriage that makes sense when you look at it in that way.
So let's get back to Blake Bortles. First quarterback that the Jaguars have selected in the draft since Blaine Gabbert back in 2011. 15th Jacksonville draft pick from a Florida school, the second ever from UCF. And as we've said, a little bit of a surprise. And we'll, actually, we've just heard that Caldwell and Bradley are out at the draft party right now. They'll be heading back in this general area soon, so stand by in the next few minutes for a visit.
You're all over Google tonight, JP.
All over it, man. That's how we do
good
the homework
work
around here. You know, he's a guy that led that UCF team into the postseason, got the big win at the Fiesta Bowl over Baylor, and turned some heads in his last year, though. It might have been against a little lesser competition in that league, but does that matter now?
Well, you know, he won and he performed, and he took the program. I can't say that I followed UCF closely over the years, but you got the impression he took them to a different level. He took them to a place they hadn't been before, and it was clearly a guy that they depended on a lot. So if you're looking for a guy who has performed, who has gotten it done in college, then he certainly fits that bill. Again, I just kind of keep going back to what we talked about with Gus and the pace they're going to bring him in at. I think that's the important thing to remember, is that they are going to be so focused on making sure that whatever competition occurs between him and Chad is going to be the right pace. And as you look at this, when you watched Blake last season, I watched the bowl game extensively, you got the idea that this guy's got a lot of talent, but there are going to be some very specific things that need to get better before he's ready to start in the NFL. You heard talk of him sliding before the draft a little bit. I say sliding, maybe out of the top 10. Well, if you wanted him to play right away, maybe that wasn't a guy that you wanted in the top 10. If you wanted a guy who's got a chance to develop into what you want him to be later on, then number 3 overall.
Couple of numbers from the combine for Blake Bortles: 4.67 40-yard dash. You do a few others from the vertical jump, 30-inch vertical jump. Let's go to the other room now. We'll get back to this a little bit later. Dave Caldwell, Gus Bradley, press conferences. We're live on Jaguars.com after the Jaguars pick number 3 overall.
Okay, any questions?
Clearly you're convicted on this guy, so just talk about the process.
Is it just you?
Well, they're all in the other room.
That's what I said.
Ryan told me to go. Right?
Yeah. Oh.
Go get him,
I think Ryan didn't realize that there was nobody else in the room.
That means it's a one-on-one.
It's easy.
No, come on in.
Mr. Caldwell, can you give him a mic check, please?
What? Check. No.
Thank you.
Did that work?
Yes, sir.
All right. Didn't think we were going to be that quick.
Hello, Gene.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
All right. Go ahead, Dave.
No Hayes, no Ryan?
No Hayes. Ryan's in New York.
Ryan's in New York.
Oh, yes? All right. Great. All right. Well, guys, we... as you well know, we selected Blake Bortles with our 3rd pick overall, and felt really good about him. Strong all the way through, all the way into the season. This has been a guy that we know very well, obviously being very close to us. I've seen very much over the years. I've seen him get better from the time he was a freshman there at Central Florida. He's a self-made guy, highly, highly competitive, highly passionate about football. Football is his only priority, and I think for us, in going through the process in the fall, was very high on him, you know, throughout the college season. And, you know, there was a point in time when we thought we were going to be picking 1 in this draft, obviously when we started 0-8, and was well aware of him and a lot of other quarterbacks. And then, you know, we started winning some games and started, and then, you know, didn't know what was going to happen then. And he had a really good combine and was concerned about it. But when our college staff got together and our coaching staff got together, he was a unanimous consensus of the guy that we all wanted. So I never let my feelings known to the personnel staff, never let known to the coaching staff. Independently, the coaches, quarterback coach, offense coordinator, did it without any collaboration with the scouts, without themselves, and everybody kind of came up with the same guy that we wanted with the first pick, and that was Blake Bortles. And we feel good about it. We feel great about it, actually. And that's it. So now he's a Jaguar.
You said last week that you felt that Johnny Manziel was the most immediately ready quarterback. But this is about sustainable winning long term.
Yes, absolutely.
Those are the code words you've always used.
And that's what we've always said. This is not a quick journey to a race to the end. This is a marathon. Well, hopefully not a marathon, but this is something that we want to build. We want to build for long term. And Johnny's a heck of a player, very good football player. But when I said that, I felt like Johnny's game wasn't going to change a lot from year one to year two, where we felt like Blake has some development from year one to year two, and that this first year is going to be critical for him to develop. And with Johnny, he's always going to be Johnny. He's going to be electric. He's going to be dynamic. He's a great player. But for our system and what we want to do offensively, we felt Blake was the best fit.
Can Blake develop not being out on the field during a game? Can he develop in practice and in the media?
Absolutely, absolutely. We have a plan going forward. We've talked to it at length with our coaching staff, not only during the season, especially during the season, but out of the season, and how he's going to take some extra reps after practice and extra coaching and some extra 7-on-7 and team reps and stuff like that to really have him develop.
So you still feel, as you said at that draft luncheon, that Chad Henne's your guy on opening day, and that's the plan?
Yep, that's the plan. Chad's going to be the guy. We told him, and we were very honest with Chad through this whole process. We told him that there's a chance we're going to draft a quarterback. It could be with the third pick. It could be in the first, second, third. And Chad knew it all along, and when we re-signed him in the offseason, we were honest with him, and he's been great. Chad, you know, I like what Chad's been doing in these OTAs and this offseason stuff, so he'll probably give us the best chance of winning this year, and, you know, Blake will obviously be the guy of the future.
Dave, aren't things different, though, in terms of, I know you don't want to rush him, but mm-hmm. you select him at number three. Aren't things a little bit different when you pick a guy at three in terms of expecting him to progress and get on that field?
Not at the quarterback position, not for us. It's such an important position in this league, and you want to do it right. And that's what we're about, is doing it right. And Coach Bradley always preaches, let's do it better than it's ever done before. Well, that's for us, and that's for us to make this decision work. We have to work to make it work. We just can't throw them out there and think, oh, you know what? We've seen what happens when that happens. But we're going to work to make this work, and I know he's going to work to make it work. I mean, the kid's got an incredible work ethic, and we feel really good about it.
Dave, Blake's leadership skills, what came across to you in meeting with him and seeing in your area scouts? What did they tell you, you know, examples of?
Yeah, practice, you know, command of the team and practice, command of the field, players, you know, rally around him. I mean, you see it in the field, and I think Coach Bradley told me a quote throughout this process, not relating to Blake, but it kind of stuck with me. When somebody shows you who they are, believe them. And this is a guy that every place he's had a chance to compete, he's competed. At Central Florida, it took him to a BCS game and won it. That's pretty impressive for any college, at SEC, ACC, but this is a guy that did at Central Florida. And then, you know, at the Combine, when was the last time a high-rated quarterback did everything at the Combine? From the three-cone to the short shuttle, the broad jump, vertical jump, he threw. And he just competed at every phase, and that's what we're about. And so his leadership skills are, you know, people are going to gravitate to him, and we believe that.
And as far as his mobility, I mean, can you talk about, he does have...
Well, yeah, I think very underrated for him, and that's what we really like about him. He has the ability to keep plays alive, and outside the pocket, inside the pocket. He's got strength inside the pocket where he can deliver under pressure with people in his face, but he can shake a tackle or he can run outside the pocket and do a lot of good things with his feet that I think a lot of people like some of the other quarterbacks. And that's the biggest thing for quarterbacks right now coming out of the college level. And that's why we felt good about taking Blake. We've done a lot of studies on next year's quarterbacks and the quarterbacks of the future. And the type of quarterbacks that college level is producing is the guys that run the spread offense. And they might not be as big or as strong or pro ready. And this is a guy that we can get this year, develop him. And we feel like in a year from now, we're going to be really happy we have him.
Dave, you said you want to go with Chad. I'm assuming you mean not just for a few games, but
yeah,
preferably the majority of the season, as long as things go well. But we all know that circumstances happen and things change.
Sure.
We saw this happen very recently with this franchise. Yeah. How do you resist that? And are you still open to the possibility of doing something here later in this draft to get another one?
First off, as far as the franchise now, and I think for us, we're all on the same page. Our owner, Shad Khan, our president, Mark Lamping, myself, Gus, coaching staff, personnel staff. This is the plan we set in place. So I think we're very convicted to that. The coaching staff's very convicted to it. So that's a plan, and we believe in it. We've talked at length about it. It's not like something that we just spring it on our coaches now, and then on the Thursday before opening a game, I'm not going to be like, you know what, he's got to play. That's not going to happen. And that's just something that we're not going to do, and I think it's because we're all on the same page from ownership all the way down. And as far as taking another quarterback, I wouldn't be opposed to it. I would not be opposed to it if we feel the value's there.
First time
Blake throws an interception, he'll be screaming for Chad too. So that's any quarterback anywhere. And you know, Chad's a pro, and he's going to compete. And we're fortunate to have both those guys. And I think the other thing that drove this is 52 different starting quarterbacks last year in the NFL. Only 16 quarterbacks started all 16 games. So if you look at our roster, we needed some depth there, obviously. I think the majority of those were due to injury. So this is a situation where we got some depth now. And we got not only depth, but a guy for the future.
You think you'll look to trade back into the first round tonight?
Well, if I can get out of here soon enough, we never know.
That's a hint.
But
what's his biggest hurdle transitioning from that spread offense, and how close do you think?
Well, you know, Blake's a guy that did take snaps under center too, so we feel good about that. I just think Blake's just got the finer things, you know, really getting comfortable about taking snaps from center. You know, they ran a lot of the same concepts at Central Florida that we ran here too. So when he came in, he had actually pretty good grasp, knowledge-wise, of our offense. So a lot of terminology was the same too. But it's footwork, it's progression, it's the speed of the game. And people don't realize that too. But I think he's going to work at it. And there's no major hurdles. And everyone said, well, he's got such a high ceiling. He does. But we feel like he's got a low floor too, because even if he's very talented right now, and he's just got to work on the finer points, but we just want to make sure he's ready to roll.
Dave, Blake told us at the combine that, you know, he needs coaching. He realizes that. That would seem to be pretty refreshing, you know, for a lot of these kids that are in the draft.
Sure.
What did that say to you guys?
Well, Blake was very open and honest that he knew his weaknesses and he knew what he needed to get better at. And I think he's a down-to-earth guy that's a self-made guy, blue-collar guy, and he just wants to be the best he can be.
And then what did Coach O'Leary tell you about Blake?
At the pro day, he spoke very highly of him, and he said, you know, just kind of what a lot of people have seen and thought, that he just needs a little bit of time. And he thought that if he would have came back for another year, he probably would have been the best quarterback in the draft next year.
How good can he be? The consensus was there was no Andrew Luck in this draft. Is this guy better than people think he is? Or?
Well, I guess we'll see. Well, you know, we'll see. We like him. We're glad we got him.
Thank you, Gabe. And Coach Bradley up here.
Okay, fire away. Now, we're very excited. I know as a coaching staff, you know, it was hard. Our coaching staff didn't know the decision. And I think Dave did a great job. His scouting staff did a great job of trying to keep it, because this is the guy that we targeted. And we just wanted to have every opportunity to draft him. But it was amazing just going looking at the grades. You know, I looked at all the scout grades, Jed, Frank's grades. We watched it as an offense and as a scouting staff. And everybody had the same, you know, vision with this guy, with Blake. And, you know, we just think very highly of him. I know one of the things that I talked to him about was being a competitor, being a leader, the guy that's going to rally people, take guys in the off season, call the wide receivers up, work them out, you know, someplace. And, you know, that's the kind of traits he has. So really strong leader, really competitive. The thing at the combine now stood out to me, that he went there and competed when he was highly touted anyway. So he did that. And then the other thing was, I think he was really excited to be here. He told me, he said, hey, Gus, if this was like college and I was going through the recruiting process, I would sign today. You know, so he really enjoyed it here. He really liked it here. He thought, you know, everything that how our vision was, how we were going to take him through this process, you know, he felt like it was an opportunity where he could really get better. And, you know, it just all fit together.
So you had that conversation with him about what the vision would be if you did draft him in
Yes.
terms of his development.
Yes.
As competitive as he is?
Well, he's competitive, but I think that's, you know, really all he's coming in here and say, I just want to get better. I you know, and it was talked just like how we visit with them. And he said, I think I have a high ceiling. I want to get there as fast as I can. And I said, we're going to provide that environment for you to do that.
What was Jed's reaction?
Very excited about working with them. I think, you know, we had conversations about the direction. You know, hey, if we take Blake, now what? You know, we got to make sure. You know, I've told our coaches to take pride in being developmental coaches. You know, we saw it with our special teams. We saw our team develop. And I said, I want that to be what we're all about, developmental coaches. I think it's somewhat of a lost art. And I said, we're going to get our opportunity. you know, with Blake. We're going to get an opportunity to develop him and to mold him the way we want. And I just think, you know, Dave made the stat or showed the stat about the 16 quarterbacks that played throughout the season. It's physical now, and it's tough. And, if, you know, there's not many quarterbacks that are 6'5 out there. It's just, you know, with all the spread game that you're seeing in college now, there's a lot of guys 6 foot, 6'1 in that frame. So to get a guy that has his traits, I think is unique.
How much strain do you think he can put on an opposing defense because of his size and mobility?
Well, I think, you know, it gives you flexibility. You know, a shorter quarterback, you have to design things around him. And, you know, now with his height and his ability to get out of the pocket and run, and he's more elusive than you would think. You know, I don't know what he ran, a 40 time, 4.9, something like 4.83. But when you saw him move in the pocket and escape, you know, it was a different type than a Johnny Manziel. You know, he might take a hit, bounce off, spin, and, you know, he's such a big man. You know, I think, but he is elusive. He is elusive.
Gus, what does he have to do? To improve. In other words, you're not going to rush him. I get that. And you love him, and you guys are all. But what does he have to do?
Well, I think there's.
What are the areas that he needs to mature or grow in?
Well, it's just some of his accuracy, but I think it's some of his footwork. You know, some issues like that, you know, his strides and things like that, that we've kind of detailed, said we really got to target these areas with him. And he understood it. You know, I think. You know, I'll give you an example. We were at the Senior Bowl, and with Derek Carr, he mentioned it. He said, I didn't understand I had a weakness throwing to my left, you know, the deep comebacks. And he said, Frank Selfel pointed out, I really attacked it, worked on it, and we got better that week, and I carried it over, you know, all the way through to the combine and really tried to attack that area. And I think that's what, you know, we're trying to strive our coaches, you know, attack, you know, show them their weaknesses. They have to admit these weaknesses, and let's speed this thing up now, give them a chance to get better at it. And I think, you know, we've targeted things like that for Blake that we really need to, you know, see improvement.
Did Shad, you told him about it, he asked you why not Manziel?
No.
He didn't bring that up?
No, didn't bring it up.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
How difficult will it be for you to not play him right away? It's a new toy.
Yeah. It is, you know, but I just think that my number one mission right now is to provide this environment where he has a chance to improve. And I think if we can and we stay strict to it, he'll get a chance to improve at a faster pace. And that's what we're really looking for. You know, there's a lot of comments that, you know, it might take him a year, it might take him half a season, it might take him some time to get it. That's okay. But we're going to provide an environment so it does take place in that period of time or even faster and, you know, get him ready to go. And I think we got to be patient, right? I think I looked at a stat. Chad Henne had really a good preseason, I believe, his rookie year. And it's like, okay, now let's start him. You know, things like that can pop into your head. And I think we just got to be really disciplined with him and stay on course.
If Chad Henne stays healthy this year,
yeah,
and has reasonably decent production, doesn't go, you know,
right,
crazy in year 12-4 or something like that, but just it's just okay, but he stays healthy. Do you envision that as a scenario where you can wait till the second year before you stick Bortles in?
Well, you know, we never talk about, you know, if we have this many wins, now let's get, you know, right now we feel good about the direction Chad's going. And, you know, I talked to him about, you know, being more of a leader, you know, being more assertive, doing more things in the off season, have more command of the offense, and those things we're seeing on the field. And I told him he's going into his, what, seventh year, I believe. And I said, you know what, it's a good time in your career right now. You've gone through some tough times, you've gone through some good times, but you can put all those experiences together and really take off this year or have an opportunity to do that. And the team is excited about him. And I know our offensive staff has seen marked improvement with him. So, go ahead.
Forgive me if you've already touched on this, but the success of the quarterback, obviously, is the success of the head coach. Is there that fear that, given that position, that your future with the Jaguars is based on Blake's future?
No, I don't think that way. I think, you know, when Chad hired me, it was – I have a commitment to the organization to do what I think is best for the organization. And that's what I told Dave. Let's really stay true to that. Let's not let it be about me or you. Let's, you know, that's the commitment we gave to Shad and to this organization or franchise, to do what we think is best for the franchise and not get caught up into that. And I just don't want to go there. And so, hey, it might take a year, guess, or he might have to, you know, play in a year from now. That's okay. If we think that's what's best for the organization, let's go for it. Well, they're intriguing. Yeah, I will say this, that, you know, he was always up there. I think we prepared for, you know, there was more heat coming around Blake at the end, you know, where Houston was talking about maybe trading or somehow getting in the mix. And, you know, so we had our second options. And, boy, there's some talented players now in the first, in the top 10, very talented players. You know, receiver, that's an area that, you know, we looked at. And there's some talented receivers that came up. But as far as for the franchise, everybody agreed on this guy, from the scouts to the coaches, his traits. It was just very difficult to bypass that.
What was he like in the meeting room, in the interview rooms?
I think he was real. He was just a real person. You know, it wasn't any act. He just came across, said, I know I need some areas that I need to work on, but I'm excited about this next opportunity, and I just want to get this over so I can get back to competing. And he said, that's why I compete in the combine. I can't go very long without doing that or competing in an event like that. And, you know, I think he's, you know, and he's excited about being here, you know, with comments like I shared with you earlier. So, you know, and I know just talking to Chad even, you know, about some of the quarterbacks that were out there, he had conversations with us. And he said, Blake seems like the guy that's, you know, the type of quarterback that would fit our style. You know, without me saying anything or even saying, yeah, you're right, you know, I think he could pick up on it.
Would there have been some gnashing of teeth on your part if Jadeveon Clowney had also
been? Well, we had that conversation. So the gnashing of teeth took place about 2 weeks ago when that scenario was brought up. But after we talked about it, you know, it was really clear to me. I think it was hard because then it would fall into that, I'm a defensive coach and maybe this is what's best for the organization. I was trying to talk myself into that, but he's very talented. But, you know, I think, you know, it's not like Dave has a history. It's been 1 year, but I will say I think Blake is really clean. He's really, you know, he's a football player, limited distractions in his life. The guy is ultra competitive, wants to be really good. And, you know, it feels really good, and he's very talented.
Similar kind of profile as Joe Pulton last year.
Yeah, you know, very similar. Very similar.
If you had the first pick, you'd have taken Bortles.
I don't know. I can't say that. I Dave would have to answer that. I just know that, you know, with all the scenarios that we had, he was a guy that we targeted.
It sounded like we could take Bortles over Clowney if he'd been there.
Yeah. If Clowney would have fell,
yeah,
we would have still made this pick.
Yeah.
Is this going to be your pick? I mean, you guys addressed the pass rush again, you know, in free agency. So how much easier did that
go ahead and repeat that, please?
You guys addressed the pass rush a little bit in free agency.
Right.
You know, with Clemens and you know, Watson. So how much did that make it easier to make this pick as a quarterback instead of having to go defense?
Right. I think it gave us the flexibility to do that. And, you know, I think it's, you know, when you look at guys on the board as far as talent or guys that can come right in and have an impact, obviously some of the receivers, Clowney, Mack, those guys have a chance to come in and play right away. Where Bortles, we said, hey, we're going to be, you know, let him develop through a year. And so, it's, you know, as far as guys that are ready to play, Bortles wasn't that guy compared to those other guys. But because we have Clemens, because we have Red Bryant coming in to compete, and Babin, and, you know, Brancher, all those guys, it gave us the flexibility to go in this direction.
Hey, Coach, go ahead. Last question.
Okay.
And the fact that you still have 10 more picks remaining, so do you feel good about the supporting cast that you can continue to put around?
Yeah, that's what we, as a whole staff, we talked about that. Not only the second and the third round, but those fourth and fifth round. We really have to do a nice job in those rounds and get really strong competitive guys in here.
Thank you.
Okay,
we'll
thank you.
We'll have Blake on the phone in the next 10 minutes in the team room.
We're live on Jaguars.com, the reaction of Dave Caldwell and Gus Bradley. And here is the head coach of the Jaguars, Gus Bradley. We just heard you in there, Coach, but let's just reiterate a little bit. A little bit of a surprise for a lot of folks, but not for you guys, right?
No, you know what? You know what I like is I told Dave, I said, we've done so much work into this that really we just need to trust our preparation and go in there, and we have a strong commitment to this organization. And, you know, to have a guy like Blake available with his traits and what he possesses, we're really excited about.
Let's talk about some of those traits. You like the fact, at least Dave Caldwell said it, that he did everything at the combine. A lot of quarterbacks kind of stood away. He likes the competition. He went to UCF, competed, got them, elevated that program, elevated himself in the pre-draft process too, right? You like that?
Yeah, we really do. You know, our central theme of our program, our organization, is competition. And he's extremely competitive. And, you know, tough, reliable, smart, competitive, has all those traits. And, you know, similar like to Luke Jokel, really clean, really a guy that loves football, and Blake has those same qualities.
And you got to know him really well in the pre-draft process, too, visiting with him a few times. And you said that he really liked when he visited here after in that visit here. He really enjoyed that visit.
Yeah, he really did. You know, and it's always good to have, you know, pick somebody that really is excited about the opportunity. And I mentioned it in there that, you know, when he said, Gus, if this was like college and we were going through the recruiting process, I would sign right now. You know, he's that excited about this opportunity. And, you know, it felt really genuine. It felt real. And, you know, we're excited about him as well.
Did it come down to anything today, or was this decided a little while back?
No, I think, you know, we had conversations. You always play the what-if game. You know, if he does go earlier, or, you know, then what? But, you know, it was clear, you know, in Dave and my conversation, along with the staff, you know, if we do take a quarterback, this is the direction we want to go. And that's what we shared with the coaching staff and the scouting. We didn't give them the pick, but, you know, they understood if we went quarterback, this is the guy.
Is there you've always said before that Chad Henne is going to be the starter going into camp. What's the status of that going forward, and how did Chad feel about this, the idea of this happening? You may not have shared it with him before, but take us through that quarterback room now.
Well, what I can say is this. I know Dave had conversation before Chad signed, you know, of our intentions, that we're going to draft a quarterback somewhere in the draft, and Chad was great. I do feel bad because I told Chad, you know, in practice, I said, you know, I just want you to hear it from me that, you know, we could draft a quarterback. And I told him I will call you before it happened, and things happened so fast I didn't get a chance to call him. But you know what? He is such a pro, and he is so strong in his conviction of his traits and what he possesses that, you know, I think – and he's really driven to compete within himself, and I think he'll be excited about this pick.
Last couple of questions for head coach Gus Bradley. What's left tonight? Well, we got anything? You want to give us some insight, Gus?
Well, you know what? I'm not sure. I know Dave and I have talked, and we'll see what happens at the end of the first round. You know, some players, if they drop, you know, we have some targeted players. But, you know, especially the first two or three rounds, there's some very talented players, and we feel good about the picks that will be available in the second round.
We appreciate your time on a busy night. Good
Thank
luck
you.
To you. Thanks.
Appreciate it.
Gus Bradley, okay. Head coach of the Jaguars, joining us on Jaguars.com Live. After the number 3 overall pick goes to the Jaguars, it's Blake Bortles, the quarterback from Central Florida. That will do it for now for our live coverage on Jaguars.com. Stay with us, though. When Bortles is on the phone, the teleconference, that will air live here as well on Jaguars.com. So look for that coming up. Not sure of an exact time for that as of yet. We will keep you posted on Twitter, at JP Shadrick, at John Osier. Look for that for the time coming up. Should be at some point in the next, I would guess, 30 minutes is my real guess on that. So stay tuned for that right here on Jaguars.com. If any other breaking news happens, we'll obviously jump back on then as well. For John Osier, everyone involved, our thanks to Gus Bradley. We'll be back in a little while on Jaguars.com.